the First Step Ever podcast, and I am Ishani Nigam, your host and producer of the podcast. This podcast is made for all the disruptors around the globe who know that they are made for something, for that one thing, but fear of embarrassment, fear of rejection, the fear of fear itself holds us back at some point in time. But hey, those are the only milestones that if we cross, we are there to take our first steps. So, welcome on this journey with me where I interview people from across the globe so that they can share their story, their challenges, and you know that even you can surpass yours. Well, what are you waiting for? Let's get started. Welcome on my first step ever. It is always incredible to invite such guest speakers who have a story worth telling, who have really gone through those grueling days, years, nights, and everything that they do to be where they are today. They get to enjoy their life because they were very, very intentional in the path that they chose, in whichever way that came to them, and how they keep going on because they have that conviction in themselves and they never really give up. So please join me in welcoming such an amazing person on this podcast, because we are going to understand much about what is conviction, what it really takes to keep doing the same thing that can get us to our goals, to take that first step, because she has lived that particular journey and she's going to share her story with us today. Please join me in welcoming Damini Yogini all the way from Australia. She's been in New Zealand, but right now she's joining us from an amazing, amazing country close to both of our hearts, India. Hi, Damini. Welcome on the first step ever.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
So if you are watching this podcast, you can see how beautifully Damini is clad in this amazing, amazing attire, which she also calls her branding, which is very, very important. I think a takeaway for a lot of all of us, you know, when you create your branding out there, what is something that you want to, you know, associate yourself with, or what do you want people to kind of associate you with? So thank you so much, Damini, for appearing in this amazing, amazing attire that you have. And people who are listening to us, she is really, really looking amazing. So I will definitely leave the links in the show notes so you can follow her and learn more about her. But before that, let me give you a sneak peek into Damini's life. So Damini, at this point in time, she is a life, business, and whatnot. She does a lot of different types of coaching. She is an amazing coach. But to get to where she is, she had to go through her own journey that we are going to touch upon today. But through the integration of her Eastern roots from India and Western systems in Australia, she created a well-balanced, life-changing, powerful, integrated, holistic lifestyle, mindset, and service. So her unique approach combines physical and spiritual health when she is in all in her sense of coaching people for their wellness, for life coaching, for business coaching. She really helps people in, you know, kind of building that confidence, courage, deep love, and crystal clear vision. She also can help you build some really deep-rooted trust in yourself and also self-belief. Now, that is an epic service that I think anyone can do, because most of us are just, you know, at that edge of living the best life if and only if we can, you know, really connect with ourselves, gain that confidence and trust ourselves. And so that I'm very happy that Damini is here, and I'm just going to get started with asking her first question. Damini, please take us through your childhood days. What were you surrounded with? What sort of mindset and people were you surrounded with?
Well, I didn't come from like a very traditional family. My parents got divorced when I was six, and in 2000 and oh, this is back in 2000, early 2000s, and that was not really common back in, you know, back here home. My parents were very driven people. They are high achievers, they're highly educated, but they got divorced, and I think that really affected me as a child. I didn't have like your normal upbringing, you know, loving mom and secure home and all of that. But they were both driven, and that led me into being a very driven person. I'm quite a high achiever. I never give up. I am very self-led person. So I believe whatever happens in your life has both, you know, the negatives and the positives. And yes, I didn't get that love and warmth, which I believe I really wanted. And I was just telling you before we started this, you know, my in-laws now are literally just showing me what that really looks like at the age of 29. But my childhood really led me into being the person who I am now, who is very driven. And I think I love who I am right now. So yeah, even though it was not very traditional, yeah, I can't complain.
Sometimes we ask like a very, very general, simple question, and there comes out a really, you know, deep-rooted, personal, a very different story that we get to hear. Mm-hmm. And this one has been so, the way we have started the podcast, I think we're hitting some really, you know, deep-rooted chords in you. But I also believe these are very important conversations to have, because for people who are, you know, going through similar challenges, or maybe the level, the intensity of the emotions may match up to the one that you might have gone through, they can actually see that, you know, how you can turn those things in your favor, or what is the positive way of taking things. How much ever someone says, if you have not been through that, you will definitely not understand. To be honest, I might not understand what you might have gone through, but it is always so interesting to see the human power, the power of your mind and your own way of thinking, how it can change the trajectory of someone's life. And I'm also happy to know that, you know, that particular love that you are kind of, you know, getting from your in-laws is so lovely. It is also very amazing to know that you are now, you know, showered by that love. But before you came to this thing, I can understand that you already developed that sort of a world for your own self, where you 100%. Started loving yourself.
Yes.
So
yes.
Moving on, just on this one, I think that's a great segue for my next question, which is like, you had a really different way of growing up, and definitely it was very difficult for you. You had different voices saying things to you internally and externally. Are you able to take us through that shift, mindset shift for yourself, you know, from growing up to probably your teens, or, you know, maybe just the verge of, you know, completing your teens? How was that time for you, and how are you managing that?
I was very rebellious, very rebellious. So I have two stepsisters, and they both are like the perfect daughters. And I think I just wasn't. I never was. I was very rebellious. If my parents would say yes, I would say no. And I think one particular thing which drove me a lot in the beginning was my dad specifically didn't have a lot of trust in me as an individual. And he would be like, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I would just take that and turn it into an absolute fuel for my motivation to go and do that and make it happen. So whether that is, you know, now I'm 29, I run a six-figure business, I'm an Indian classical dancer, I have a beautiful seven-year-old son. So I also had my child very early on. And I've created life of pure abundance. Like, I'm happy, I'm settled, I know my purpose, and I'm just going after it day after the other. It started with me listening to myself and really backing myself up with it. So it's not that I would just be rebellious saying, okay, if you are saying, you know, don't do this, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But I would do it. I would take full responsibility for it. And I will not give up until I would win. So that got developed really early on. Maybe the foundation was not the healthiest, because it was always like, okay, if you're saying this, I'm going to go do opposite. But where it led me, and you know, over years, you get more aware. So yes, when I was 17, 16, I wasn't that aware, but by 19, 20, the awareness element came in. I started meditating. I started, you know, exploring more of awareness practices and stuff like that. And once that came in, merged with that kind of rebellious nature and just, I'm going to go and get this shit done kind of thing, it just was unstoppable kind of combination.
Wow, exciting. Really, really interesting to hear you know, how things have been for you, Damini. Things could actually go completely other way as well.
Yeah, 100%.
To be honest, but just to see, you know, how you use that as a fuel to get forward in life. And something that you have mentioned, which is very, very essential for us to kind of highlight, is it's unfortunate that you have a foundation that, as you mentioned, that that's not the best foundation that you were, you know, kind of looking for, but then you made the right decisions going forward. I have never really delved into this question with any of my guest speakers before, but I find your story very interesting and unique. And mm-hmm. I like to kind of tap into, you know, the different phases of your story. And now we have just mm-hmm. reached the phase where you try to manage all those emotions and put that into the right direction to actually, you know, achieve something, to show yourself that, no, you are good enough, that you people can trust you, or you can trust yourself that you can mm-hmm. do something. From that phase to actually getting married as you mentioned, quite early. Now, that's an yes. amazing choice. That's mm-hmm. a choice that anyone makes, and quite a tricky choice for a lot of us. How mm-hmm. did that happen for you?
Yeah, it was not accepted at all, because my dad was so angry. He's a PhD. He's an occupational psychologist. So he was like, no, don't get married. Don't have a child. You're too young. Like, you're a baby yourself. Why you're doing it? All my friends were not happy. They were like, why are you doing it? You're going to ruin your career, ruin your life, and all sorts of things, you know. And now Regan is my ex-husband. So we just got separated last year. Beautiful, amicable divorce, no qualms, nothing. And we went separate ways. But when we started, I remember us both having a conversation, and we both wanted to be young parents. I always wanted to have one kid, and I wanted to grow up with my kid. According to me, your cognitive power can stay with you for way longer, you know, than your physical ability to be active with the child, to really give them the attention, the awareness, which they need. And that was my personal belief, and that was my ex-husband's personal belief. And we both decided that, you know, he asked me, what do you want to do in your 20s? And I was like, I'm not clear about my career. I would just do a degree for the sake of doing degree, because all my friends are doing degrees. But if you actually ask me what I want to do, I have no fucking idea what I want to do. But I do know I want to have a child, and I do know that I want to have it with you. He's also a PhD in neuroscience. And, you know, we both were studying psychology at that time. So we were not super naive about awareness and mind and how mind works. And yeah, we both made a decision to take that step. And marriage was just like a kind of thing which came out of that as well. And it was the best decision. My son is now 7. He goes to a Montessori school. I am 29.
Lovely.
I have the physical fitness to be a professional dancer. I have literally my entire life to work after my career. I'm highly driven for my profession. And he's 7. He's growing with me. He was with me in New Zealand for 6 weeks. Now he's with his dad. He'll be coming to India in a couple of months. So I don't see any mistakes made, but I completely understood how everyone perceived it at that time. It was not a mistake. It was a thought through thing. And I still stand by that decision. So yes, it was, again, not traditional, but it worked out for us. And definitely, I'm really happy. And my son is incredibly happy as well.
Firstly, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Damini. And it's all true honesty with so much love and, you know, taking us through your thought process. Mm-hmm. One beautiful thing that I see over here is that as you mentioned, probably, you know, your whole belief in, you know, what you are doing is something that you are ready to, you know, kind of take on even the responsibility of that particular
yes.
thing. And it was a thought through decision. There were so many people, your loved ones, your friends, you know, saying this is the biggest mistake that you'll do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is a voice, that's inner voice, that says that, no, this is the thing I want to do. This is the right thing. I felt it. This is my gut. This is my intuition. Mm-hmm. And it could be for anything, you know, at any age, it could be anything. For you, mm-hmm. it was, if we are looking for this aspect of your life, it was this. And you actually went with it, thought through it. And it is such a beautiful, you know, phase for you. Even today, I see that kind of happiness on your face and the life that you have created for yourself. God bless all of you.
Thank you. I also
heard something over there that you mentioned, that you had no idea what you want to do with your life professionally. You know, it's great that you knew that what you have to do personally, because at that point in time, a lot of people don't know anything in any of the areas of their life, whether it's professional or personal. So
yep.
take us through that parallel aspect of your life around that time, that you didn't know what to do and you were just doing this degree for the sake of it. How was that time for you professionally? What was going in your head? What were you feeling? Were you looking at other people and comparing yourself? Because that's a very common phenomenon when we are growing up. And that all mostly happens when we don't have ourselves figured out, you know. A lot of work goes into that. How was it for you?
I think because my ex at that time was doing his PhD in neuroscience and a lot of his friends became my friends. So I had like an insider look into what, you know, doing a degree and going to like the pinnacle of it, which is your doctorate. What does that really look like? And for just money, it wasn't worth it, to be honest, right? Like I didn't want to finish a degree, have a debt, and then at the end of it go, I don't even know, is this what I want to do? Or like, it's a soul sucking 9-to-5 job. But like, I don't know if this is what I want to go in debt for. So that was very clear. And I think I was very fortunate to be surrounded by people where I could see the process. Like it was not just an illusion, because a lot of time it is just a story, right? We are like, go do your 12th grade and then so do true. Your degree, get a secure job. And we are almost sold this amazing story. Which I believe for the most part is quite safe and certain. And if you don't really know what to do with your life, maybe it is good to go down that path. But I knew I was made for more. And both my parents were entrepreneurs. They still are. So I was grown up into the environment where it was all about business and none of them really did any jobs. So they both had successful businesses. So yeah, I chose to take my time. And once I had my son, I was 21, motherhood was quite an involved process, you know. From 21 to about 23, I lived in Europe and in America. My ex-husband got a lab stay in these different countries. So we were kind of traveling around the world with our beautiful son. And I took a couple of years to just be and really enjoy the motherhood process. Used to do all sorts of research, this, that, look into it, but there was no rush. I knew once I find something, I would go all in. And then when I was in Amsterdam, I found modeling. And I was, you know, petite, and I was like, yes, I think modeling would be cool. And I did that for 6 months to about 8 months, and that was really nice. And I came back to Australia. Then slowly I started to look into getting back to a proper career. And that's when I came across the coaching thing. So I think having good conversations with my friends, with my ex, and just being surrounded by people who I knew they were doing what my dad asked me to do. And I was like, that's not necessarily what I want to do right now. And I can always do it later, you know?
I really like how you mentioned that having good conversations, they really help delve into things that you might have never thought of, or probably you just touched upon and you never really knew that, oh, this is how things can be for me, or, you know, this is what really means to me. I'd also like a point which you mentioned about that that's how you just want to be, you know, you were just there, like you were not chasing something, you were not looking for something, you were just enjoying your life, you're in the present moment, you were just there, and you were absorbing everything that's happening around you, being surrounded with the right people. And that is incredible, you know, that you gave yourself a shot, you went for modeling, and you also was a really hands-on mom. And this is quite a journey, I would say, you know, going ahead, giving it a go. You definitely have a very unconventional pathway, a story, I would say. And that is very inspiring. At least for me, I can say that, you know, that it shows you that you can write your own life. You can do things as what you like and what really makes sense for you. Because at the end of the day, when we see you right now being the six-figure your business is doing so well, you are a life coach, you also kind of help people with wellness coaching. And this is where I'm going to kind of dive into now, you know, from the young 20s to, you know, where you just moved in Australia and started looking for that career that you really connect with. How did that really happen for you? How did you find your inner voice, make that big move for yourself?
So because I was studying psychology prior to having my son, I always knew that I want to serve people. that was really clear that if it would ever be a career, it would be in service and it will never be a job. I definitely knew that from very beginning. So I did some small jobs to kind of figure out. I used to work in a float center, which is, I don't know if you know, like the magnesium tanks, the 300 kilos of Epsom salt, and it's really good for your parasympathetic nervous system. So I was working there and we ran this study for people with PTSD. And they would come and I started facilitating floats for them. And I just realized I really enjoy that. I enjoy holding space for people. And this is what I want to do. So then I started looking into different degrees. And there was this one holistic university in Australia. I don't remember the name. And they were doing some holistic counseling stuff. So I was looking into all these things. Then this person walks into the door when I'm working at the float center. And he's an Indian with like long hair. And he just walks in and he's like coaching someone. And I just asked my manager, I was like, who is this person? What is he doing? And she's like, he's a coach. And that's the first time I heard that word. And I just went to him and I was like, I want to do what you are doing.
Wow.
And you know, it was literally that. I was like, this is it.
That was quick.
Yes. I was like, this is it. And it was a coincidental that at that time he was actually looking to teach other people how to coach because he's been coach for a while. So I was like, yeah, just show me the business side of things and how you run it. And also because he was Indian, I think I really wanted to bring that Eastern philosophy in my own journey. By now, I already had done Vipassana, which is a 10-day meditation retreat, shamanism, this, that. I was doing all sorts of courses and trying to understand human consciousness through different perspectives. And I was like, Vedic perspective is the one I want to kind of include in my work. And yeah, we started working together and I learned how to start a business and coach from like an Eastern perspective. Within 3 months, I had my first client and I've never looked back. So that was,
wow.
Yeah, it was very much so just following what's coming across and then making the best informed decision based on the information I had in front of me, which is, I guess, how I've lived my whole life till now.
Your eagerness, that attitude that you have, that if you really want to do something, you'll just go and do it. That's a theme that I've seen in your life in various phases and in various, you know, aspects of your life. And that was really amazing that you saw someone doing something that you really, that excited you. And the very moment you went up to that person, you spoke to them, you understood what it is all about. And you probably, did you ask them to mentor you or how that process was for you?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I just had a conversation. We really connected. And he said, this is what he does for a living and he can show me. So of course there was like a fees involved and I paid him. And yeah, we went on a beautiful 6-month journey. And first couple of months was just rewiring my own subconscious, like, you know, bringing chanting back into my routine, which I had no idea. I used to meditate, but I never used to chant, for example. And, you know, just, I think loving Indian culture again, like it was a very exciting journey to come back to my roots and seeing it from a perspective of me, not what my parents told me about our religion, but how I can see it and how can I make sense of it. And then I went ahead and did a Vedic counseling training and now I'm certified Vedic counselor as well. So that's how I kind of started. I think it was just one conversation at a time. That's all what it was.
Wow, one conversation at a time.
This is so
powerful. It's like it's all about taking one step at a time, taking the small little steps to get to your first steps as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna ask a $1 billion question. If you can actually take us through maybe your journey from that first client to, you know, making your business such a success at this point in time. How mm-hmm. was that process for you? What took you to be where you are today? Because I think that's where all the hard work lies.
Yes. And I think people don't realize that it does take a lot of discipline, a lot of hard work, but not in a way. I think people have the whole word hard work really twisted because they do what they don't like and they do it for 10 hours a day. And hence hard work is seen as almost like this, not a very palatable thing. But according to me, if your vision is clear and you deeply are in alignment to what you are wanting, then all the work feels effortless, you know? And for last 3 years, I've just been devoted to my business. I've also learned from world's best mentors and coaches. I spent around $30,000 in my first year of coaching, just learning from the best people around the world. And I would then, of course, get clients myself, make revenue back, invest back into my business. So that was a huge thing. I think learning from others really helped me collapse that time. And I didn't make a lot of mistakes. I was guided really well. And I think other thing is just deep level of self-trust, not holding myself back when I wanted to have a conversation with someone, extend an invite to someone to come into my container, and constantly being creative. I'm also a classical dancer, and for me, creativity is very important. So I started as a Vedic counselor, as a life coach, and then I went into, you know, mostly around purpose, and now it's all around business and predominantly visibility and voice activation. So I help business owners around getting really visible, really embodying their brand voice and living life from the place of, you know, unwavering confidence. So each step of the way, I kept on reinventing myself and refinding and didn't look back at any point. I think I moved really fast because of the deep level of self-trust and people around me. I think everyone around me, you know, as I told you, my in-laws, my fiance at the moment, and yeah, they're just amazing people who showed a lot of trust in me. Even my ex showed a lot of trust in me. My son, even though he's 7, he's like, he thinks I'm a champion. So I think it's very important to have, like, you don't need a lot of people around you, but having those few people who truly believe in you is all you need. And yeah, I've been very fortunate, at least for last, I would say 6 or 7 years, I've been very fortunate to have very good quality, amazing people around me.
That definitely stands out in your story so far, Damini. I think you've been really blessed with some really good, some really amazing men out there who really, really yes. trust in what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think the topping them all is your son, which is mm-hmm. so amazing, because I think mm-hmm. if he looks at you as a champion, that really fills one with a lot of, you know, trust and confidence in themselves mm-hmm. anyway. So I'm really mm-hmm. happy for you. And thank you for summarizing your, you know, behind the scenes of your success, the first step, I would say, because I think there's mm-hmm. more to come for you. Those 3-4 years of, I wouldn't say hard work, as just mentioned, because it's a very interesting definition that you've given mm-hmm. over here, you know, that if you do not like something and doing for the 8 and 10 hours of your day, obviously it looks like hard work. But once you yes. align with something, and it's like you're in a state of flow, you know,
yes.
you just work in a really different mindset, and mm-hmm. everything that you put to your work, it really amplifies as in when you go. So reinventing yourself, learning from your mistakes, investing in yourself, and also being in the right surrounding, which is amazing. Thank you so much, Damini. I absolutely loved understanding the amazing, fierce woman that you are. I like the thing that once you decide something, it's not a frivolous decision. You have thought mm-hmm. through your decisions and you stick through them and you make them look so beautiful in your life. I wish you all the very best. I do have a very quick question, which mm-hmm. is, what does the future for you look like as a life coach?
That's I usually don't like to put a cap on what is it that
wow, even that's interesting,
because it's you know, you never know. But I do know that I want to lead a business of service. I really want to serve. Predominantly, I work with women all around the world. I think we have so much amazing potential, and if we really own ourselves and yeah, really just unlock our voices and our expression, world is our oyster. So I think that's definitely one of my vision. I'm also a dancer, so I believe I want to excel in my dance. I just did a beautiful performance in New Zealand in front of 500 people, which was amazing. So I want to continue doing that. I'm in India at the moment to learn from my Guruji in Pune. So I would be going and learning from her and really just taking in all that knowledge. And yeah, like really spending quality time with my family, with my son. I think in between these three things, my art, my business, and my personal life, which includes yoga, meditation, and family, there is not much else which I get to give attention to. And these things keep me absolutely busy and in the most beautiful, amazing ways.
Thank you so much, Damini, for being on my first step ever, gracing this show, this particular episode. And as I call it, my show, my first step ever, leaving our listeners with really, really some pearls of wisdom, and more than anything, letting them know that it's so important to have conviction and belief in oneself. And before I let any of my guest speakers go, I always request them to leave our listeners with a quote or a saying that they really resonate with.
I don't have any quote, but I would definitely like share that even though you can, I just had a session with a beautiful client before this podcast, and she was saying, you know, I'm struggling to find my purpose because I don't feel activated every single day. I don't feel like, you know, excitement every single day. I don't think you should mix these two things. You know, you can have a purpose, but still your day-to-day life can look like the one of, you know, deep focus and dedication and discipline. Not every single day needs to look like a honeymoon. And if you just stick through those one step at a time with a bigger vision in your mind, you'll get there. And I think the reward of getting to your end goal it's unparalleled. There's nothing else like that. So if you are focusing towards manifesting your visions in any way, just one step at a time, every single day with a positive mindset, can do miracles.
Those are some golden words from the amazing, amazing lady out here, Damini Yogini. Thank you so much for being on my first step ever.
Thank you.
For everyone who's listening to us today, if you like to follow Damini, which I know that you are interested in already, in any aspect of life that has interested you, dance or, you know, about family, about life or profession, I will leave the link in the show notes. So please make sure that you connect with her if you like to. And also, as I always tell my listeners, that start believing in yourself and keep believing in yourself. And we are going to see you with another amazing person, another amazing story of the first step. But for today, thank you so much, Yogini.
Thank you.
Damini Yogini. I think even Yogini sounds like a really cool name.
Oh my God, I wouldn't go into the story, but I gave myself this last name, what you wouldn't believe. Because when I got separated, I was like, I don't want to go back to, you know, my dad's last name. I don't want to go back in life. I was like, what next name? So I actually gave myself this name.
Wow, that's incredible. And I think that's such a fun fact that we are ending this episode on. And if you'd like to know a little bit more about really fun facts about Damini Yogini, then do connect with her. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Please do give ratings and please do write your comments. And you can directly reach out to me on my first step ever _IN. That's my Instagram handle. A little about myself. I have always loved performing on stage, acting, speaking, and just emoting myself. So I use these mediums different ways so that I can connect with people, help them, empower them, infotain them, which is to inform them and entertain them. If you would like to collaborate for any opportunities, more than welcome to connect with me on my Instagram handle. Thank you.